Hey, everyone. It's April. It is the latest Caddy's Cafe. And who would we have in April if not Roger Taylor? Hey, Rod.
Hello.
Just
grabbing a drink from my kitchen. Hang on a sec.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, here I am.
What are you having?
Yes, another birthday coming up.
Woo, how are you handling that?
Good. Losing count a little bit, but, you know, it's good to be here.
That's a good answer. That's a very good answer.
Yeah. It's better. It beats the alternative.
That's true. My dad always used to say that. What are you doing for your birthday? Anything exciting?
Well, we're back in the studio, actually, on Monday.
Right.
Well, I think my birthday actually falls on a studio day.
Okay.
As long as we're working, I think. Yeah.
But that's good, right? What do you,
that's
you know?
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. A working birthday, nothing wrong with that.
Would you go out for dinner that day?
I probably will, yeah. I usually like to go with my family and whatever for dinner or something. So
very
pretty low-key, really. I mean, the big one is next year, isn't it? So the one we're not mentioning yet.
Oh, dude.
But that's going to be the biggie. But it's only a number.
It's only a number. Does it get easier?
It's only a number.
I had trouble with this year's birthday, as you know. It was hard.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a
pill. Another one we don't mention.
Right, yeah, let's not. But does it get easier? No, it's just a number. And you have a young child. That must keep you young, right? Keep you young?
Yeah, I think it does get easier, actually. I think it's all about acceptance, isn't it? And about being happy where you are in life. And I think if you are happy, you're better off being 60. Well, I nearly said 60. You're better off being 59 and happy than 29 and not happy. That's
right.
I won't look at it.
All right, I'm going to try that.
At a good point in your life. Yeah, if you're at a good point in your life, I think that's the important thing.
Sometimes when I take Hayden to things at school and I'm talking to another mom and she says, oh, I'm having my 30th birthday party. Week, I want to shoot myself. But other than that, I can pretty well ignore my age. Yeah, I'm like, okay, I could be your mom. Cool.
Yes.
Anyway, that happens.
I get that.
Right? I'm a little older for having a 4-year-old. We're mature.
Yeah,
that's right. We're not old.
But
we're wise.
There's quite a few around now, actually. We're not alone. There are a lot of mature parents, I've noticed.
That's correct.
I think people are definitely having children later.
Yes. I don't see it as much with Tanner. Yeah, I don't see it that much with Tanner. Most of his friends' parents are my age, but Hayden, I see it a lot more.
Yeah.
Yikes. So this...
Very good company.
Well, yes, thank you. I'm always happy to be in your company. So for this cafe, this April's cafe, we decided to take fan questions, which we like to do. This time we took them off of Instagram. I like to mix up which social network we grab our questions from. So I'm going to start. So the usernames are weird. I'm going to start with KMG001. That's all I know that person by. And said,
KMG.
And that person, yeah, KMG001. What is your What is your maximum heart rate while playing the Wild Boys?
Oh, come on. I have no idea.
I like that question.
And it wouldn't be Wild Boys. It would definitely be Rio, which is much, much faster. But I have no idea. But I did read an interesting thing a while ago, and they actually wired up, I think it's Clem Burke from Blondie, they wired Clem Burke up, and they measured all the things that his body was doing, and it was the same as a Premiership football player playing a match for 90 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So there is a lot of energy that goes out there. And those guys retire when they're 30. So how do we do it?
I don't know. How do you do it, Rod? You just keep kicking.
I don't know.
I like that for you.
What's that, sorry?
I said, I like that for you. It keeps you young. That's it. That's what's going on.
Yeah. And I also think if you started doing it now, you know, kind of later life, I think it'd be quite difficult because I think I've been doing it since I was 12 years old. Your body is kind of used to it and it adjusts to it very easily, I think. Oh, yeah, I realize yeah. I've been playing for a long time now.
You built up a stamina. Do you feel yeah. like your arms are very strong?
Yeah, not. I mean, it's not like weightlifting or something you do in the gym. It's a totally different thing, and you're using completely different muscles. And I find that it's not about hitting them with all your strength and might. It's more about using the flexibility in your wrists and your forearms. And I find that if my arms are very, very relaxed,
mm-hmm.
my playing is much more powerful. As soon as you tense up, just try and hit them hard as you can. I think you actually lose a lot of dynamic in the playing. So it's not so much about strength. I think it's about flexibility and technique, more than anything else.
Oh, dude, look at you.
Oh.
The next question is from Voice Over Emmy. I like that. Maybe this person won an Emmy
voice
for
over
voice
Emmy,
over.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which drum sequence? I don't know. I looked, believe it or not, on her Instagram. It's a woman, and I couldn't find it, but she does do voiceovers. Voice Over Emmy. I did stalk your Instagram page. She wants to know which drum sequence from Duran Duran's catalog are you most proud of, and is there one from another drummer that you admire?
Which drum track?
Yeah, from Duran Duran's catalog are you most proud of? It doesn't have to be one everybody knows, I guess. And then is there one from another drummer that you really admire? Always pops in your head.
That's interesting. I mean, I think anything from the Rio album I'm very proud of. But I think that as a whole, that was it was a great piece from the early days, and I think everything just kind of slotted together very well. And I listened to those drum tracks, and I'm very, very proud of those. Actually, did you hear that thing where they broke down the backing tracks of Rio? And it was on an American radio show, and they played the drum track, and then they played the bass track, and then...
Oh, yeah.
Did
I did.
You hear that?
In California, I did.
Yeah, and I heard the drum track from Rio, and I've got to say I was very, very, very proud of that. I thought it really stood up on its own as a good piece of, a good drum composition. Something
yeah.
that's probably my favorite one that's kind of come to mind. I mean, otherwise, anything by John Bonham, Trampled Underfoot is probably my favorite piece of drumming. Superstition, Stevie Wonder.
That's an
amazing piece of groove drumming there, which I think was actually Stevie Wonder, because he played everything pretty well at that time.
Oh.
So probably with those two.
Did not know that. I'm going to listen to Trample Underfoot when we're off because I love that
song. Oh, it's amazing.
Too. It is. He was a bit of a nutter, John Bonham, but he was sure a talented musician, it seems.
Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, he was. Okay. I hey. That's the next question. I-H-E-Y-Y. What gives you as a drummer inspiration when you guys work on a new song?
What gives me the inspiration? I think it's what's happening around me. I mean, we're going to go in on Monday and we have no idea what we're going to play, what we're going to write, what's going to come out. And I think we inspire each other. It's usually if Nick does something, Nick will program a sequence or Simon will come up with a melody or John will start with a bass line. And I'm very much inspired by what they do. I don't go in with any idea or plan, really. It's all just off the cuff. That's the way we write music, and that's how we've always done it, and that's how we still do it.
So it's the magic you guys create together, really.
It is a bit of magic, I think.
We
did a couple of days with Mark Ronson when we were in LA, and again, we had no clue what we were going to do, and there's just something when we play together that always seems to create something special. And you go back and listen to it in the control room, and it all sounds totally different from how you heard it when you played it. But when we get it together and play it together, it just It's something quite special, I think, and something very individual. So, well, sounds like Duran Duran.
Mm, that's exciting. I can't wait. Have you heard any finished tracks or nothing? Nothing is finished yet.
Nothing's finished, no, no. I've only heard rough things.
Mm, I'll keep waiting.
Coming along.
Yes, I hear. So I hear. I love this question. C. Patel, 1968, says or asks, in the video for
Night... Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. In the video for Night Boat, what were you whispering to yourself? That's a good one.
Was I whispering to myself? I didn't know I was.
I think you were.
I was probably whispering, what the hell are we doing in this video and what's it all about? I don't really understand what we're doing. Probably when I was whispering to myself. And I've not actually watched that video since it was made, I don't think.
Oh, you
and
should.
And I get the feeling if I watched it again, I'd probably still be thinking the same thing. What the hell is going on?
I post it every Halloween, just so you know. So you should.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. It makes me laugh.
Oh, okay.
You were ahead of your time. Funny. You were ahead of your time, though. You have to think about it. It's before Thriller, and you got all the
zombies. Yes, exactly. That's what came to mind, actually, was Thriller. It was the first video, I think, that had a little bit of acting in it. That's what you can call it.
Yeah.
The first video, I think, anyone ever made with lines and acting and stuff. And I think after Night Boat, quite a few came along, weren't there? So it was an original.
Yes, it certainly was. It was
an innocent stab at making like a mini movie, wasn't it? Which was kind of special.
Yes, I loved it. I love it.
I'll watch it again. I might watch it actually tonight and
have a good laugh and then text me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, send me a little text. Hamptons. That's a fun name. Hamptons says.
Oh, wow, very posh. Very posh.
Yeah, very posh. Hamptons. I just read the other day.
Kind of seeing a blazer and an old school tie and,
and
lounging around in their mansion in the Hamptons.
Yes, darling, of course.
Hamptons.
If you were shipwrecked on I love this question because I know which one of the four of you I would pick. If you were shipwrecked on a desert island and could only choose one bandmate to accompany you, who would it be?
Oh, my God.
But this is so obvious.
Desert island.
Yeah, and could only choose one bandmate.
That would probably, and I'm sure you have the same thought, Simon. Because
of course. He would get us out.
Yeah, he'd get us out of there. He's got that kind of buccaneering, adventurous spirit, and he knows a bit about sailing. And he would probably make a boat out of a few palm trees and a bit of driftwood.
Mm-hmm. He could.
Use his shirt as a sail.
Yeah.
And he'd probably get us out of there. So,
he could. Many years ago, Simon and I joked around many years ago that we were going to submit ourselves as a team for The Amazing Race. Because he would win that silly show, The Amazing Race. But then he said, with me as his partner, we'd probably lose right away, which is true. What's that?
I don't know. I've never seen that show.
You've never seen The Amazing Race? Oh, it's it's a reality show, but it's like Survivor, but you get directions to get. It's like a scavenger hunt, but all across the world. But you know, he would kill it on a show like that.
Yeah,
he would. But
I can see that.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad you picked him because who else could it be but him? Nobody really. Yeah. Michael Timon said you have traveled to many wonderful places in this world. Is there one on your bucket list that you'd love to visit, and why?
Yeah, I'd like to go to India. Actually, I've never played there, of course. I've never been there. To visit, we went to Sri Lanka, which was amazing. I've been to the Maldives, which is in the Indian Ocean, but I've never actually been to the mainland of India. And I've just seen quite a few different documentaries on India recently, and that's definitely on my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to go and stay in one of those lovely big Oriental kind of hotels and in India somewhere and really experience the country, you know, the real India, rather than just going to a resort somewhere. Just go to Delhi or
one of
the cities, and maybe go to the Taj Mahal.
It'd be lovely.
Yeah, that's definitely on my bucket list.
Okay. Very good.
I just think it will be a really great cultural experience.
Yeah. You should go with your kids. Strap on some backpacks.
Good idea.
Yeah. There you go. I think Elliot would be a good traveling companion for that trip. Because he loves photography
definitely.
So much.
Yeah.
All right, I'm booking it.
Great.
Bradley?
I'm just going to tell her into it now.
Okay, or she can stay home. You could do a dude trip.
Yeah, she's a traveler, so, yeah.
Yeah, all right. I think she'd be up for it then. If she likes to travel, let's do it.
Yeah. Food's great as well.
Oh, no, not for me. Yuck, forget that.
No, I love Indian food. That's main diet here is Indian food.
Yuck. Does Julian eat that?
No.
Okay,
he does. He loves a curry. He loves a curry.
He does?
He's a proper Englishman. He likes football and curry. So.
Oh, my gosh. I was going to say, when the boys are like 13, we should do an exchange. Like, Julian will come here for 2 weeks to New York, and then I'll send Tanner to you for 2 weeks. But the thing is, Julian wouldn't eat anything at my house, and Tanner wouldn't eat anything at your house. So we'll have to figure that out.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
As it gets closer. Yeah.
Could be a problem when the curry comes out.
Gross.
Anyway.
Bradley Mueller says, which Arcadia song besides Election Day would you like to add to a set list?
My favorite has always been The Promise, actually.
Oh, I love that too.
It's my favorite on that album. And something we've never played live, so I'd love to do that one. And maybe I'll suggest it in the next set list conversation.
You should. I think that's such a great song, and Anna can do the sting part.
Yeah, you know it well. You know it well.
Yeah,
I
like
love
that
the sting
song.
Parts on it.
Yeah,
and Dave Gilmore playing guitar.
Yeah, I love it.
My favorite. But that's another thing we were talking about, favorite drum tracks. I think that's also one of my favorites is that one, actually. And, of course, we've got Mark Egan on bass that we recently reunited with. He came to one of the shows on the last tour.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
How exciting.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. All right, I'm going to keep on it. I'm going to remind you to suggest that. DDLB08, which could be Duran Duran Late Bar 08. That's my guess, anyway. Wants to know, what gear are you using for the new record? What gear? What gear are you using?
Oh, gear.
Yeah.
Well, it's mainly live drums, actually. It's a combination of what I use in the live sets and stuff that Errol Alkin has at the studio, and Mark mm-hmm. also has a kit that he loves to use. So it's a real combination of different acoustic kits, but it's definitely sounding a lot more live, this record. I mean, the last one kind of lent towards more electronic sounds, but this is a lot more organic because Errol's a big fan of drums and organic drums. So we've put a lot of work into the drum tracks. So we've kind of put away the programming a little bit on this one and gone for a bigger live sound.
Wow. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I have another drum question. Fred Mussard, like mustard. Fred Mussard, 71, said, did you keep any of the Tama drums from the early days?
You know, we've got a lot of stuff in storage that I've not actually looked at for a long time. But those early, very early ones, I don't think I kept any. They all just kind of went somewhere. And I believe one of them is in Paul McCartney's studio in Sussex.
Why? How did it get there?
Because I know one of his daughters, and a few years ago, more than a few years ago, probably about 20 years ago, she said, my dad really he wants a good drum kit for his studio. And I said, hey, I've got one here in the garage. You can, I don't really use that one anymore. I said, take that one. And I'm sure we'll be happy with it. And that was one of my original Tama kits. So, Paul, if you're listening, when you finish with it, ready to have it back now. But they all, I don't know, they all just, you know, I gave kits away and, you know, they get it put in storage somewhere and they disappear. So unfortunately, I've not got any of them left, I don't think.
Are you sad you don't have any left? Or
I am a bit sad, yeah. I would love to have my first Tama drum kit. I would love to have that. And I have it set up in my living room. But, you know, I've never been a big collector of things, and I've always... I think we've had this conversation before, actually.
Yeah.
I've always kind of liked to be in the moment and moving forward rather than kind of hanging on to stuff. So, you know, I can only blame myself.
I hear you. I'm the same way. I chuck it, and then...
Like, I'm not using it, chuck it, or give it away, or...
Yeah. I'm not very sentimental.
Yeah.
Same.
I do get a bit older. I think, actually, it'd be quite nice to have kept that.
Yep, me too. But then we get over it really fast, right?
Yeah. And I've not even got many of the original clothes either, which I would love to have kept. I've got the jacket from Rio.
Oh.
The trousers.
That's weird.
So what happens to the trousers? I have, or the pants, as you guys say.
I have
no idea what happened to the pants. So I've got
half
a Rio suit.
Do you have anything from Wild Boys?
Not personally, but I think that stuff is in storage somewhere.
Oh. Was that heavy, those clothes? They looked heavy.
They were heavy. They were very heavy. Very heavy.
It looked good.
Yeah.
I love it. Queen of the 80s, who actually is quite a good Instagrammer. Hi, Queen of the 80s, whoever you are. That person wants to know, which of the Duran back catalog would you like to re-record your drums for and do it differently?
I don't think I'd do that with anything, to be honest with you.
Really?
I don't think so. I think what you do, you know, is of the moment, and I think we probably... Yeah, I've never really thought about that, to be honest with you. I've always kind of accepted everything as it was recorded and, you know, tried to move on to the next thing. I've never kind of thought I would like to go back and re-record anything, really.
Mm. Okay, good for you.
Nothing really springs to mind, actually. I think everything was right for the moment.
I like that about you. Never look back.
No.
Only look forward.
No, exactly. Keep looking forward.
Keep looking forward. Sarah Wells, 2510. There we go. If you had known everything that would have happened in the band, would you still have joined?
Oh, definitely.
I knew that would be your answer.
Yeah, without doubt. For all the highs and the lows and the, you know, the changes in direction and the lower periods and, you know, the insanity of the earlier days. No, I wouldn't change a thing, I don't think. Definitely not. It could have been a boring old life without it, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
You know, I could have been a solicitor or a car engineer or something in Birmingham, you know, really hating my day job. So I feel really lucky and I'm very grateful for the life that I've had so far.
You are. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that you are.
Absolutely.
Nate wants to know if you have a favorite performance of your whole career.
Wow. There's been so many. Oh, wow. It's really hard to put a finger on one, I have to say. I think probably the last time we played at the O2 Arena in London was an exceptional night. I think it was the most people they'd ever had in the room that night. I think they had to put extra seats in.
Oh, wow.
There was a lot of people there. We had I had my kids there. We had, you know, loads of friends and whatever there. And I've got to say, the feeling in the room was absolutely magical. It was astounding. It was fantastic. Because you do certain shows and you just feel an exceptional love that just comes from the audience. That people, whatever you do, however you sound, they're just there to, you know, to love the band and really enjoy the show. And that was definitely one of those. And you get like a synergy between the audience and the band. You know, the audience gives you something, then the band gives the audience, you know, something back to them, and it just kind of transfers between band and audience. And that was definitely one of those shows. So I would say that was my number one.
All right, so we have one last question, also a drum question, because I feel like you don't get enough drum questions in your life.
Oh, okay.
So Pam O'Connor, I think I know who Pam Levin O'Connor is, but she says, my brother, also a drummer, introduced me to Duran Duran. We still have the Modern Drummer with you on the cover. Can you tell me how you've sustained such a long-standing relationship with Tama?
Oh, that's a really good question, actually. I don't know. They've always worked for me. I've always had a good relationship with them. They've always provided me with whatever I've needed at any time. And I think it's a brand that's really moved with the times. It's not a brand that's just kind of, I mean, some of the brands kind of have their era. You know, you'll have brands that are really all about the 60s or all about the 70s or whatever. But I think Tama have really moved through the ages, and they still make amazing drums and amazing hardware. And I've just always had a really good relationship with them. And as they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Word. I like that question too. That's good. I'm gonna tell the Tama people. I'm gonna show the Tama people this question. It was a good question.
That was a good effort. That was like a radio advert.
A little bit of one, and then I'll say, did you know that my kid plays the drum? No, I won't do that. I'm just kidding. just kidding. I'm so wrong. Anyway.
Get in there early.
That's me.
Well, I don't play Tama because I was a big fan of Steve Jansen, who played for Japan.
Yeah, oh, right,
and Stuart Copeland. Stuart Copeland played Tama as well.
Oh.
And a lot of people were playing the real traditional kits at that point, like Ludwig and Premier. But some of the younger guys, the guys that really inspired me were playing Tama. So that's why I went and got my first Tama kit.
Very cool. Go, Raj. Loves it. Well, listen, you birthday person. I am wishing you the most fabulous day with your family and in the studio and all fun stuff. You are a tribute to your age because you don't look.
You don't look
it, and you don't act it, and that's what keeps us all young. And I'm hoping that you have. It is the key for sure. And I'm hoping that you have a fantastic day. And I think we'll have you back in the cafe probably in September. So I will cross fingers. And
maybe the album's gonna be finished.
Maybe. Oh, please. Don't start no rumors. Don't start no rumors, kids. But I am looking forward to speaking with you soon. And I'm sure I will be texting you some crazy things as you know, I am wont to do. I do that to you quite often.
I'm definitely going to check out Night Boat.
Oh, yeah.
And watch it for the first time since probably, when was it made? 1983
or something? Yeah, 82 or 83. Okay,
I'll check it out.
Will you text me after?
Yeah, I will. I've got to find the bit where I was whispering.
I know. Okay. Let me know. I haven't seen it either.
Well, great. Well, thanks for having me.
Okay. Have an excellent day.
Thanks to anybody that sent a birthday wish or a card or a message or anything. It's really appreciated and wonderful.
Thanks, Rod. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.